Lord is doing. Romans chapter 8, verse number 22 is where we'll start reading from. The Bible says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." I need to stop right there and say something pertaining to this scripture. It's often misquoted. It says, "And we know that all things..." Doesn't say, "And we know that all good things." We know that all things work together for good. The result of the things that God lets us go through is for our own good. "To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Not our purpose, but His purpose. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this evening. I thank You, Lord, for what You are already doing. I thank You, Lord, for the spiritual battles that have been fought on this ground already today. I pray, God, that we would retain in our memory that all things work together for our good. Lord, I thank You that You're growing, and that You're working, and that You're moving. And I pray, God, that You would help me tonight as I preach. I pray that You'd touch my voice and my throat. I pray that You would help me with that, Lord, and make it to where it can be amplified and be used for Your honor and for Your glory. I pray, Father, that You would strengthen us, uplift us, and encourage us in only the way that You can. And I ask this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. I want to preach to you on this one word tonight, and that is the word hope. The word hope. I think everything that we go through, and I stressed on that just a few moments ago, or just a minute or two ago, from verse number 28, is that we can have hope that everything that God does, He's doing for our good. Do we understand it? Absolutely not. Can we comprehend it? Nope, no way. But I do know, and I do have faith, that the things that God does are for me and my good. And they work together, and I have hope in this. Now, in verse number 24, that's where we'll take a text from, if I could say it that way. We are saved by hope. Now, here's what that little word means. Hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation. Hope is to desire with expectation and to expect something with confidence. When you pray, you should pray with hope. Amen. You should pray expecting God to answer that prayer. Amen. You hear much talk about praying in the Spirit or having a prayer language or something to that nature. And I'm not preaching against any of those things. I'm just simply saying that true prayer in the Spirit of God is believing that when you pray, God will answer your prayers. Not give it to you the way that you request it. Y'all right? But that He will answer your prayer in His time, having hope. Amen. So the Greek word, there is a Greek word that's used for hope, and that is the word elpis, E-L-P-I-S, and it means to anticipate with happiness. To anticipate with happiness. Any of you got any hope for something? I went this afternoon and I saw to a birthday party for my uncle who turned 90 years old yesterday, and I was talking to him. He's 90 years old, and I said, well, he said, I'm the oldest living one of the Agins other than Grandma. We call her Grandma Agin. Her name was Pearl Agin, but he said, I'm the oldest living one. And I said to her, I said to him, I said, how old was she? And he said, well, she lived to be 98. And I said, all right, we only got 9 more years to go. You can beat her. Amen. You can get the timeline in. And he looked at me with no smile on his face, and he said, you know, I got hope about something, but I can't tell nobody about it. He said, I got a goal that I want to make. He's 90 years old. Tell me he got hope and a goal. Amen. 90 years old, telling me he's got a goal that he's wanting to achieve and got hope. And he said, I can't tell nobody about it. If the Lord lets it happen, then you'll see when it happens. And that's what he calls me preacher, amen. Usually he just calls me Josh, and he's 90 years old. He's my uncle. He can do that if he wants to. But he said, I got hope, preacher, and I have something that I know or I believe that the Lord is going to bring me to. And that's all he said. I said, well, you just go and keep it to yourself. He said, I will, amen. I'm going to keep it to myself. But this man had hope, and he had goals. And I thought, Lord, if I have half the faith that he has when I'm 90 years old, if I get to live to be 90 years old, then I want to have hope, and I want to have a reason to continue on. And that's what hope is. He doesn't know that it's going to happen, whatever it is. He doesn't know that it's going to take place. But God has instilled in his heart a hope for what he might get to see someday. And he looks at it with expectation. He anticipates it with happiness. For this reason, hope is a word for days of stress and for strain. We don't hope when there's no reason to hope. Hope comes to its brightest shining in the presence of the deepest, darkest night. It is an aspect of faith. Romans 5 verses 1 through 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Circumstances say there's no money for the bills. Hope says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Circumstances say there's no rest when we're weary, but hope says, come unto me and I'll give you rest for your souls. Circumstances say you're unable to bear a burden, and hope replies, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. Circumstances say you're too sick to be healed, but hope says that there's healing in His wings. Amen. Sin says you're too lost to be found, but hope answers back, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thunder crashes, rain pours, wind blows, but hope is the anchor of our soul, according to Hebrews. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Glory to God, we have hope that the Lord has given to us. I have a hope of heaven, Brother David. I don't know everything that's up there. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us, I have not seen, ear not heard, neither is entered in the heart of man the things which God has in store for those that love Him. I have hope of what I'll see over yonder on that bright shore. I have hope not only of that, but I have hope in this life. If we have no hope, we're of all men most miserable. But we have hope. We have hope. Church, we got hope. Some of you looking at me tonight like you ain't got no hope, but you got hope in the Lord. You can expect something from Him. God's good all the time. And all the time God is good. We can hope in Him. Our world can be going crazy. Everything be falling apart. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I've got hope in Him and in Him alone. Hope. Hope in the Lord. Anticipation with happiness. I like having hope. I like having hope. I have hope about my life. I don't only have hope about heaven, but I have hope about my life, about the things that are coming, the things that I hope to one day see. I ain't wishing nothing on my babies, and my babies are still babies. But I'm going to be honest with y'all if I can. I'm looking forward to one day getting to be a grandpa. I can't wait. I'm going to spoil them boogers. I'm going to give them chocolate when their parents tell me I can't. I'm going to feed them mashed potatoes when they say they ain't ready for real food yet. I'm going to take my grandbabies out for steak dinners. I am so looking forward to that day. And if there's one thing about being a parent that I'm looking forward to, now you help me pray that the Lord will let me have that one day. I want to be a granddaddy one day. I don't even care what they call me. They can call me whatever they want. They can call me preacher if they want to. I don't give a rip. I just know that I'm ready and I want to have that day. And so now I look at it from afar and I say, I want to hold them babies. Amen. I'm one of them men. I like to hold babies. I even like how they smell. I remember how my baby smelled. I'm looking forward to one day. I remember having this same feeling about being a dad. Amen. I couldn't wait to get that little boy or that little girl in my arms. I wanted to hold them. I wanted to smell them. I didn't want to smell them when they had a soiled diaper, but I wanted to smell them when they was clean out of a bath. Amen. I had that hope. And if there's a big life event for me right now, I've got hope of that newness of life coming back into my family. I've got the hope of that and having those experiences. And that's something that I anticipate with happiness. I don't know when they'll happen. And by the way, guys, I'm good with them not happening anytime soon. I'm just hoping for it. Amen. Amen. This hope is in my life that God will do all of these wonderful things that I'm looking forward to. And that's just one thing I have right now. I have a goal. I want to reach and this ain't going to matter to some of y'all. You're not going to care, and that's okay. I want to be able to run a 25-minute 5K. Y'all know what that means? That's about an 8-minute a mile 5K. If you don't think that's tough, run a 5K with me. It should have been a big amen from there. I have hope that my body will hold out. I have hope. You all right? I have hope that I'll be able to achieve that goal. And I hope that I have inspired you tonight and you've started thinking about things that you can have hope about. This is a gift that God has given us. And I want to tell you some things about hope. How about I just go on and preach? That'd be all right. Number one, hope produces peace. Hope produces peace. Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 26. Many of you in here know this scripture, and if you don't have it memorized, you will at least recognize it. The Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." I know when I wake up tomorrow morning, that the Lord will be with me. I don't know what tomorrow morning will bring. I don't know what troubles I may face. If there's one thing that I have learned in my short 44 years, and that is that you don't get to determine what comes your way. And you don't get to dictate what all will happen throughout the course of a day. In the same day, I have heard birth announcements, and I've also received a phone call that someone I love passed away in the same day. I have buried 5 months old, and I've buried 90 years old. I've seen it all through the spectrum of ages. And I'll tell you this, the one hope that I have is that when I wake up in the morning and the Lord is there with me, the mercy that I need for tomorrow morning will be sufficient to carry me through that day. No matter what I face, I'll quietly wait and hope in the Lord. You think about old Job and all that he went through, how that he had hope in God. Listen to what he says in Job 13, 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job said, though he slay me, though he kills me, though my life is no more, I will trust in him. When we have our hope in the Lord, he brings peace in our turbulent world. Psalm 43 in verse number 5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Philippians 4, 7, we talked about that through the month of February, didn't we? 6 and 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The hope we have in the Lord brings peace in our world. Thank God for hope. Hope produces peace. Hope produces boldness. We have hope, so we use great plainness of speech. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 2 Corinthians 3:12 says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. We don't tell people about the Lord and His goodness to us because we are mandated by the Great Commission. We tell people about the Lord because we want to give them the same hope that we have. We see people walking around all the time and they are hopeless and helpless. And we have the key in our words through the Word of God to give them hope in their life. And we can do so boldly when we talk to them. We don't have to be sheepish. We don't have to be standoffish. Did you know that you can tell people the truth in love? Did you know that you can tell people the truth and be gracious to them while you're doing it? Amen? Did you know that you don't have to be a jerk for Jesus? Amen? You don't have to be a shock jock. You don't have to right every wrong. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Here's what I have found. I don't have to right everybody wrong that I see. Everything that I disagree with, I just take them to the Lord in prayer. Amen. And the Lord sorts them out and He takes care of them. He knows how to. I don't, but He does. I don't have to do all those things. I don't have to clean somebody. I ain't never, ever, not one time, cleaned a fish before I caught him. Not one time. I've never pulled a fish out of the water and it be ready to go on the grill. I had to clean him after I caught him. I don't know why it is that we have this idea that somebody got to clean up before they can come to church. You just come on to church and we'll let the Holy Ghost clean you. Amen? You come on down here to Gateway. We'll let you get cleaned up. The Word of God, by the washing and regeneration of the Word of God. It ain't up to me to clean nobody up. That's up to the Lord to clean somebody up. And I can be boldly speaking to them. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." It's the same reason that we tell somebody about a good restaurant. We go in there, we have a good experience at the restaurant. We get a good steak dinner, whatever it may be. And we tell somebody, "Hey, you go down there to so-and-so's restaurant. It'll be the best steak you ever put in your mouth." You don't know that. You don't know that. You're just going off your own experience. All right, okay? You don't know they're going to have the best experience they ever had, but you got hope when you tell them, amen. Are y'all, I know I ask that a lot, but some of you I'm like, I don't know if y'all right or not, or if you're okay. You tell somebody you had a good experience and you send them down there, what you going to do if they come back and say, "That's the world's awfulest food I ever had, ever put in my mouth. Waitress was rude, cook was mean, I ain't never going back to that place." They'll never listen to you again. But I can tell you something, because of God's faithfulness and because God's an honest God and a truthful God, anytime you look at someone, you can with great plainness of speech and knowing that your expectations of him will always be where he set the bar, not where you set the bar, but where he set the bar. Amen. When you tell someone, God won't leave you, he won't forsake you, the Lord will take care of you, the Lord will provide for you, go down there and get a steak at the Lord's diner and he'll make sure that everything's the way you want it to be. You go ahead and bank on it. When they come back and talk to you, they're going to have a good time. God is faithful. Philippians 1:20 says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Oh, Paul said either way. Either way, Christ is going to be magnified, and this is the expectation of my hope. Psalm 31:24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Amen. Hope produces boldness. One more on this Baptist three-point sermon. Hope produces rejoicing. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." We rejoice in the hope that God has already given us. And because of the hope that we already have, I like that next part of that verse, patient in tribulation. Now, if I went around the room and asked you, would you tell me about your tribulation this week, I believe every single one of us in this room could identify a tribulation that they faced. I'm adding words to my vocabulary tonight. Faced this past week, or that you may face later this week. And you think, well, I don't know exactly how I'll get through them. Well, you'll remember back to where God delivered you one time. And so as this tribulation rolls by, you'll just be patient in it. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope. I have said this before, I would like to say it again. Please don't pray for patience. When you pray for patience, you're praying that God will send tribulation in your life, because tribulation worketh patience. You might be the most patient person you've ever seen in your life, but that don't mean that it's easy. All right, preacher, what I pray for then? Wisdom! Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, with all thy getting, get wisdom. Don't ask God to give you patience in a tribulation. Ask God to give you wisdom while you're standing in the middle of that tribulation you're going through. Let God bring you through it and continue an instant in prayer. Did you know
that you can have hope and still be a prayer warrior? There's a big difference between being a prayer warrior and being worried and not praying. You can either be a warrior or you can be a worrier. But you can't be both. The things you take to the Lord in prayer, He's going to deal with. God's faithful. You pray about it. You might forget you prayed about it, but God don't forget what you prayed. I've already watched Him. Right now, church, you look around as you see this crowd that's here on a Sunday night. 40 years ago, when this church was established, there were some men and women that got down in this little building next door, and they prayed that God would bless this church and that God would work in this church. And see, we're just foolish enough to think that it's just because we're really cool that God's doing all the things that He's doing. No. God's answering them prayers from 40 years ago. God's all the prayers that are written down up here and that are over here, God's answering those prayers. And while there may be people that have passed off the scene, our voices are temporary, our prayers are permanent. Our tears are bottled up in heaven, according to Psalms. Amen. It's not because you got a super cool pastor. It's not because we're the greatest thing since sliced bread, although we are. It's because God is honoring the prayers that were prayed all them years ago. God's being faithful, and so we get to rejoice in what others hoped for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now, if God's doing this now for what they prayed for then, what you think it's going to be like 40 years from now? The Lord tarries His coming. What He's going to do, how He's going to work, how He's going to move. Man, I got hope for Gateway that God's going to do some great things in the future. It don't make a hill of beans whether Josh Agin is the pastor or not. God is God. It ain't about the people who populate the building. It's about the faithful God that we serve. We look around this room and there's a very good chance that 40 years from now, the vast majority in this room will not be here. Just 40 years from now, 20 years from now even. Amen. It's a scary thought. I don't like to think it, but it's the truth. Death is imminent. Absolutely it is. But the hope that we have produces rejoicing that God will continue His work, because He that hath begun a good work in you will continue that work. He might transfer it over to somebody else, but God's work will continue with or without me and you. Because God is faithful. And that produces rejoicing in our hearts. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Psalm 33:18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him and upon them that hope in His mercy." The hope that we have in the Lord produces rejoicing in our life now, but rejoicing for what He will do and rejoicing over what He has done. I don't have to live just solely off of what it used to be like. Amen? I can rejoice in the now and I can rejoice in that which is to come, because He's the God of it all. My hope is in Him, and I hope that your hope is in the Lord too. Not in man. We will fail you. We will fail you. But God never fails. He never fails. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the privilege, Lord, to stand behind this sacred desk one more time. and to preach your precious word. God, I thank you that you've given me the liberty to preach this tonight. God, how I needed to be reminded of the hope that you've placed in my life. Lord, I pray that you would help. I pray that you would give strength. I pray that you would give wisdom. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless our church. Lord, whether we're here when you open up the floodgates or whether it's down the road, God, I pray that you would get the glory. You would be exalted in everything that is said and done. Lord, help. Give us hope. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand?